This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, Friday. What's good? Welcome in. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to 106.7 The Fan. We are on the air from my house in Virginia, Danny's house in D.C. Former Major League Baseball General Manager Steve Phillips is always good with us. He'll be on the show at 11 o'clock today. We're going to talk about the players versus the owners, the dispute waging on. Will we get a Major League Baseball season? Will they get a deal struck? Also, lots of NFL news to get to, including onside kick changes that we liked not actually happening, voted down. Danny, how are you this morning?
We're doing all right, my friend. How about you? We're still dancing. We're still surviving, still treading water. Last day of the official school year for D.C. schools, I guess, is today. So there's going to be a little bit of break from the hellscape that is trying to teach my first grader the Common Core situation that D.C. schools has sent home and tried to make us all into overnight professors. So we're looking forward to that, looking forward to a break from that after today.
Good. I'm looking forward to two things. One, getting the pool for the baby that I told you I was going to get yesterday, because I went to three different Targets, all of which told me online that they had the merch, but they didn't have the merch. It's a hot commodity, apparently.
Yeah.
So they say they have a few in stock. I get there and they're gone. Everyone's got the same idea. And I look forward to a day where I don't walk outside to accomplish said goal, only to find out that my car got towed.
Wait, what?
That's right.
Your car got towed.
Wait, why did your car get towed? You're just at your house. But it did get towed. You see, the little decal, I guess it'd be a, what do you call something you would hang from your dash? Is that just like a placard or something? What would you call that?
Oh. I don't know.
You know, like a permit?
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, it'd be a parking permit, probably. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I had moved it out of the driveway for – there's a bunch of reasons why, but we were doing bubbles and all kinds of different stuff. I'm dragging all this stuff out to the front of the house for trash day, and we got all these boxes and things that we get rid of for recycling because we're moving and we're getting furniture and whatnot. So it was in our permit. There's a driveway we can use. There's plenty of spots in the driveway. Or there's a permit spot in front of my house. So I put it there. Well, your boys – permit, I've got this big, thick, like a Mike Trout neck-sized place to like hook things on in the front dash of my car. It's not your little small normal rearview mirror. You following me? So it's like really thick and hard to actually clip things onto. So I guess it fell to the ground. So when tow trucks came by overnight, they look at my car and they say there's nothing there. So this car is not supposed to be here.
Tow this man.
So while it's not necessarily their fault. Right? If it's anybody's fault, I guess it's my fault. The thing fell. But here's what I'm mad about. So I call the tow truck company and I go, okay. First of all, I'm brand new to this neighborhood, so I don't know the name of my HOA. So I look that up. Then I call the HOA.
It's my nightmare.
They don't
answer. It's my
nightmare. Second or third time, I call them. Someone answers. So I'm like, okay, fine. So I say, hey, I need to know who would tow cars away if my car got towed from in front of my house. So they give me the name of the company. So I call the company, and this woman answers, and she goes, yeah, how may I help you? She's way too nice, you know, way too, like, pleasant. I want to be angry. You've towed my vehicle. You're charging me to get it back. This is a racket that I hate. It's one of the most annoying things about our society is that this just happens. So I said, but I said, you know what? My good friend Britt McHenry had a bad situation after her car got towed. I said, I'm going to be the antithesis of that. I'm going to crush them with kindness here. So I said, oh, yeah, yeah, my car is towed. I'd just like to know where it is. So she says, so let me look. It must be on our lot here. Give me the name of the car, you know, whatever. So she looks and she goes, we don't have your car.
Oh.
And then for a split second there, my heart dropped into my stomach. Because I'm thinking, well, there are two options here. Either my car got towed or my car got stolen and is on some joyride around like
95. It's my favorite game to play.
In New Jersey or something, right?
It's called Towed or Stolen. It's a hilarious game to play.
Great game. Have you ever played that game?
I played it every time I park in Baltimore. Yes. You try to figure out what the hell's going on. You see broken glass, but that could have already been there. It's a fun game, man. I have played before.
All right. So she says they don't have my car. And I said to her, I go, well, it's gone. So is it a possibility that it's somewhere else? And she goes, well, it could be at one of our other lots, but we're the one near where you live. She said, give me your license plate. So I gave her the license plate. You know, she's booking me a ticket to Colorado or whatever. A lot of buttons being hit. And she comes back and she goes, oh, yes, we do have your call. It's a car. It's at the Falls Church location. I was like, that doesn't seem like it's near here at all. So I drove to Merrifield, about 25 minutes away, to the Falls Church location to pay $160 to get my car back.
Wow.
And everything, when you get there, it's like it's just so programmed out. It's so seamless. Like, all they care about is that $160. You know what I mean?
And they're good at it.
So easy. As long as you hand over that money, it couldn't be easier. So I hand over the money, and he goes, your car, you take 10 steps up, turn left, you'll find it. There it is, sitting right there for me. So I just drive right out. They open the gate. Very easy process other than handing over that $160. I was Ricky Stenhouse Jr. last night. Okay, I was not very happy. That's a race car driver, Danny. He finished fourth last evening in the big race. I was, man, that was Rick Carlisle evening for your boy. When's the last time I had your car towed?
When was the last time?
It's been a long time for me.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I mean, I've received tickets erroneously, where I've clearly got like a sticker displayed, and like the person that wrote the ticket was like, sticker's not displayed. It's clearly displayed. I've sent here are so many pictures of the displaying of the sticker. Oh my God, please stop ticketing me. And just the blood boiling nature of those sorts of logistics, right? Because, and here, listen, like, I'll be okay. I'll pay a $50 fine, $100 fine, whatever it is. Like, my life will go on. The thing that I can't stand is the hassle around it, and the all I've done is correct things, and I have to do extra. I have to go the extra mile, or the extra phone call, or the extra time on hold, the extra time looking up my PIN, passcode, ID number, designated answer question thing that I was supposed to have set up 7 or 8 years ago. I cannot stand that stuff. I hate it so much, so much. The next phase, I've already done Bill Shark before to take a bite out of my cable company bill. The next phase is somebody coming up with a service that does all that. All whatever that is, you just, hey, you got a ticket. Never mind, sir. I'll take care of that for you. I'll call around to the tow truck companies. I'll have all the information, and we'll go get your car for you. That's the next frontier.
Danny, I'm telling you, you get the car back, and you have a choice to make at that point. Do I stay furious, or do I act like that never happened and never think about it again? Because I just got cash out and handed it over. And it's not anybody's fault probably but my own. I jammed the thing up there and it fell. I'll never be cool with the towing process as it's currently constituted.
Because they break into your car, Grant. They break into your car and release the parking brake and make it easy. This is just an accepted practice.
Should be reserved for people who are broken down and need to get their car where they're going, or cars that are debilitating progress, you know, and kind of halting everyone doing what they have to do in some way. And if an HOA or you know, a community wants cars moved that shouldn't be in certain places, I guess I could see that. But I need a way more extreme example than one night of a car without a permit being in a permit-only spot.
Yeah, here's where I start. You are blocking a spot where ambulances come out. Like the ambulance driveway, your car is parked in front of there and you left it. Tow that car. Let's start there instead of oopsie doopsie, the sticker fell down. You know what I mean? Like let's find a happy medium that's not that. It's the meticulous, just the desperation to tow people's cars. The hardcore attention to detail. Because think about this: that dude or gal, whoever it is patrolling, is driving around that neighborhood
with waiting.
The sole purpose of finding somebody just like you that made a mistake. I mean, that's predatory. Stop it.
Yeah, I try not to direct my anguish or the venom at the tow truck company or the driver, because at their core, they are actually just doing their job. It can be a job that I think is infuriating, but that's what they're doing. But, man, I'll just tell you, I've told you before, like, I'll never understand how airplanes work, how these big, big machines just hang in the air for hours, and the smartest people on the planet can explain it to me and do some kind of science experiment
where
they show me.
I'm sure it does.
I'll never understand it. I'll never be okay with it just being cool to take your car from where it's parked, drive it to a lot under lock and key, and then charge me $160 to get it back. And if we're going to do that, if we're just going to say that's cool, then I need the price to not be $160 for you having my car for a total of 12 hours or whatever it was. Like that just seems like maybe we're gouging a little bit. Some very nice people are suggesting, by the way, including Lou Milan, that they will give me a baby pool for the backyard. I appreciate your offers. I will let you know, though, that we've gotten very creative, Danny. My wife, who was upset that I didn't succeed in my quest yesterday to bring back a baby pool from three targets all over the area. What am I supposed to do, build the pool when I get there? They don't have it. They don't have the pools. I can't bring the pool back. We have decided we're going to get one of the, like, doggy pools from PetSmart, and that's going to work just as well. So basically it's going to be like a little plastic dog pool that the baby's going to be in. So that's the new plan. It's already been
ordered. What's the difference between a dog pool and a human pool?
I don't know that
honestly.
Maybe the size? You're asking a question I don't have an answer for, but I thought it was a creative solution, what with the demand for child pools here on May 29th being very high, apparently.
Apparently.
That's what we're doing. So no need for pools. I think we're getting a dog pool, and we'll see if it works. And we're underway on Grant and Danny. Steve Phillips at 11 o'clock. Let's get into the regularly scheduled show. Vet session over. There is a governor who is not only allowing for professional sports to return to his state, but who has already made the decision that stadiums could be up to 25% capacity by the end of this month, start of June. We'll get into what state that is and what that means for the return of sports and if that could start a chain reaction. We'll do it next right here on Grant and Danny. Hey, guys, Grant Paulson from my friends at Lindsay Chevy. Not great to have the car towed, but guess what? When I got back in that car, that pristine, wonderful Chevy Cruze, you know what happens? I'm happy again because I'm riding in style. I've got all of the gadgets and the bells and the whistles in that vehicle that make me very happy. Listen to my satellite radio, cool my seats, it's all the works. Lindsay's new Chevy models, like my Cruze back in 2017 when I got it, are available right now with a great deal. 0% financing for 84 months, plus no payments for 120 days. Now more than ever, Lindsay's offering the assistance you need to show that Chevy cares. You want a test drive, you don't want to go into their facility, that's fine, they'll bring the car to you. You want to get a pickup and delivery option set up for service maintenance, no problem. They'll come get it, they'll drop it back off. Lindsay wants you to know they're in this with you. And my buddy Paul Smith, the GM over there, is here to help. So when you go to Lindsay Chevrolet or you get online at lindsaychevy.com, you find the car you want, you call them up, you ask for the GM, Paul Smith. I love it at Lindsay, and you will as well. It's Lindsay Chevrolet. With Danny, I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan. How about Texas Governor Greg Abbott announcing yesterday that fans are going to be allowed to attend outdoor professional sporting events in nearly every Texas stadium and location? Every county in Texas, up to 25% capacity starting this Sunday, May 31st. So think about this, Danny. We're having these debates as to which locations teams will be allowed to get together to train. Like, you think about the Wizards, their practice facility is in Washington, D.C. As of not even this moment right now, but I guess is it tonight at midnight, or was it last night at midnight, you're able to now, like, go to their practice facility and actually start training. Not in mass, though. The whole team can't get together and train in D.C. Right. But yet in Texas, as of 2 days from now, the governor is not only saying that stadiums are open for business and that if pro teams want to have games in Texas, they can do it, but he's saying that as of 2 days right now, this weekend, you will be able to hold a game where 25% of your stadium is full with people. It's just a, you know, crystallization of how different this scenario is being viewed depending on where you're standing in this country at any given moment.
Well, sure. And some folks are going to try to make it something that it may not necessarily be, right, in terms of politics and the like, and that's not what this show is all about. But the perception and the reality on the ground, as I've kind of said all along, I think, GP, I don't want to say all along, but for a while, it's different in rural Kansas than it is in the heart of Brooklyn. It's different in Boston than it's going to be in, you know, Plano, Texas or whatever. So I understand that. And it's hard to imagine, given the circumstances around here, right, where I'm, you know, 600 yards from Georgetown Hospital, and, you know, there are a Georgetown University employee named Patrick Ewing just had this and just did it, and we're, you know, 1,000 yards from that church in Georgetown where that initial pastor and a whole bunch of his congregation were infected. So that seems close, and the reality they're dealing with seems completely foreign and far away. I think they would say the same about what we're going through. To a lot of folks in Texas, it sounds like this is just a big nothing burger. And I don't necessarily begrudge that. I think different approaches for different municipalities, I think, is A-OK. So you're right. It's a huge dichotomy with the Boston Marathon's canceled. Pittsburgh fans are, according to Pro Football Talk, are going to be allowed just to take the season off if they don't feel like using their tickets for health reasons. And then in Texas, it's like, yeah, come on by. Pretty amazing.
Right. I mean, and some of it probably is, you know, based on political lines being drawn or what have you. And as you said, that's not necessarily the part of it that we'll focus on. But here is what I know, and I tend to agree with you. There shouldn't just be a uniform policy coast to coast, I don't think. Because in some states, the issue is larger than in others. And it would stand to reason that just based on population and the density of people and how many folks are stacked side by side and shoulder to shoulder, that's a worse situation than if you're in a place where you live a mile from every one of your neighbors, which happens in very rural areas in this country, obviously. The governor of Texas, Abbott, said that the state has set up a number of guidelines for the leagues to follow, including a recommendation that spectators and employees keep at least 6 feet apart from anyone not from their household. I guess here is my one hesitation or trepidation with this. And this is based, for me, anecdotally on one conversation I had with the only doctor that I have been around during this entire process. When I said, hey, what would be your thought medically, based on the people you've treated and what you know about this, on stadiums being open? And he said, I think, you know, outdoor stadiums, as long as people are distancing and wearing masks, I absolutely think you could go to a game and watch a game and it wouldn't be that big of an issue. There's no talk here of masks, for the record, that I can see. They are talking about the distancing. But you look at the beaches in some of these places where supposedly everyone is allowed to go and they're opening for business with distancing, and that's not really being done. And I don't know how you actually legislate that. Like, how hard and fast do you think the 25% is? Are they going to be sitting there with clickers like the guy when you got on a roller coaster who stopped you and closed the gate in front of you and said, that's 50? Are they doing it that hardcore? I don't know the answer to that. Is every restaurant and every bar doing that? Some of the pictures and videos you're seeing, it doesn't look like it. And then specific to when you get into the stadium, let's say people aren't 6 feet apart or there's 25 people sitting together who didn't come together. Does someone go say, hey, we need space here? Like, how do they actually pull that off? And you can roll your eyes at me bringing that up if you want to, people. But if that's the rule that the governor's setting, my point is it's something that has to be discussed, right?
Of course it does. And, you know, are you going to leave that to, you know, what level of stadium employee? You know, the ticket taker is going to say, hold on, or, you know, with thousands of people coming through, or an usher is really going to start policing things? I don't know the answer to that. I really don't. I don't know how it's going to look on the ground. I think the idea is to sort of, hey, say that we did it. right? To say that we're checking our boxes, right? We're showing you that we care about safety and being judicious and smart. But on the, you know, but game day, you're not going to start having an usher look watching the concession line like a hawk to make sure that the guy that's third in line is exactly 6 feet behind the guy that's second in line. You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff isn't going to be a priority after about 5 minutes. But you're right. I mean, it is. It's a stark contrast.
It's amazing. But do you think this is kind of a one-off based on location, based on geography? Texas is its own entity here, and everyone's kind of thinking for themselves. Or does it take a state to do this, and then others could follow? I mean, whereas you've heard – is it L.A. – was it the county? Like the city of Los Angeles? Remember there was a story within the last month about like it could be 3 years before games are allowed to be played there or whatever it was with fans. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that was speculative or what have you. But now you fast forward a few weeks and 25% of people on May 31st. By the way, this is like if there was a game being played in Texas on Monday, that the stadium could be 25% full. So fast forward to September. I mean, what about the Cowboys? You know, the Dallas Cowboys in Jerry's world. Presumably, we're not still at 25%. Now, I can't speak to, are we going to be at full capacity? Probably not. I don't know. But you'd think at that point it would be a much higher percentage than 25 if we're on May 31st. Right. And if there's not a second wave or something, that would mean that maybe the Cowboys are able to have, or the Texans are able to have, a huge portion of their crowd. And if you're the NFL and one team has the home field advantage, let's say the Texans, of 65 or 70% of their fan base, but others can't have anybody there, is that okay? I mean, do you let the Texans have some fans but not the Redskins? And does home field advantage then benefit one team more than others? I don't know if the league's considered that yet, but it's something they better start talking about.
No, they need to. And I think just because it's revenue, I think they'll allow it, right? There'll be that in equity.
Of course,
right?
They won't think twice about it.
You'll have fans in Houston, but you won't for the Jets. You know, or
but isn't that a massive benefit to the teams that are able to have those fans?
It is. I mean, to me, it's a similar benefit to there are teams in states that don't have state income tax. And guys, if you sign a $50 million deal in California versus in Florida, you get to keep more of your $50 million. That's an advantage. That's part of it. You know, so we act like the playing field is always completely level. It's not really. This would be a very, you know, sort of exacerbated demonstration of that, I would say. But It's something that the NFL will just kind of throw their hands up and say, no, their money counts. It's still good. We need it for operating costs and help those teams out and make those owners happy. Could you imagine if they told Bob McNair, now you can't have fans because, you know, the Morris can't have fans in New York?
Right.
I don't know that would fly.
No chance. And they want every dollar they can get. And I think that they would allow for as many fans up to capacity in any stadium that allows for it. I really believe that. Because the bottom line for these owners is trying to make as much cash as possible. What do you guys think about that announcement and what it will mean for the rest of the country? Could this lead to other states getting in line in a chain reaction, or is it just a one-off with Texas kind of doing its own thing? 800-636-1067. Would you be, if that's a stadium near you, one of the 25% of the capacity that is willing to go and watch a game? 800-636-1067. On Grant and Danny. We'll also get into Jack Del Rio's meeting with the media next, what he had to say in his first Q&A session in some time with D.C. reporters about Chase Young and his new defense. Yesterday, Jack Del Rio spoke with D.C. reporters about the Redskins' defense and Chase Young, fielded questions via Zoom. It is just funny to me. That's the world. I mean, it's the best way to do it. It's efficient. It works. But Jack Del Rio sits at home, gets on Zoom, and then welcomes 10 or 12 reporters into his living room via computer so that he can have a Q&A with them over the course of the offseason. And I give the Redskins PR staff and PR staffs all around the country credit, as well as the players and the coaches who are complying and, you know, trying to allow for not only some content but some answers so that fans get some access, because otherwise we'd all be – just swimming around in waters where there's no noise being made. But that's the way of the world. And it was Scott Turner a couple days ago, Jack Del Rio's turn yesterday. You've seen Ron Rivera get this treatment. This is how conferences are now being held.
This is what we do. This is what we do, the new normal. Again, I forgot who tweeted it, so I apologize, but I saw this a moment ago. I may have been Sean Kelly, actually, our buddy. But think about this. If you walked into a bank 6 months ago and saw like a person in a mask, your reaction very different than right now. Very, very different. You assume you're in Point Break or, you know, the town or some other kind of nonsense. Now
I think about that every time I walk into a store. The other day I walked up to a cash register, you know, with my mask over my face, and it was all, I was thinking about it. I'm like, this is just so uncomfortable. I was at a CVS, and I went right up, and the lady's wearing a mask. She looks right at me, and I'm wearing a mask as I approach her, and I'm thinking, my goodness, you know, 7 weeks from now, if I did this, I'd be thrown on the ground and thrown in jail, you know, just for for intimidating. I don't even know what they'd say I was doing, but man, there's no doubt about it. It's awkward to be in stores, but you know, not everybody is. It's kind of at this point, I don't know, 50-50 or whatever. So it's strange, but I have read stories where there are people that are just look like they're walking in with their masks on, and then they actually do hold the place up or whatever, that are trying to take advantage of the time. So you've got bad apples all over the joint. Let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067. Chris is in Hyattsville on Grant and Danny. Chris, they're opening up stadiums in Texas as of Monday for 25% capacity. Your thoughts?
Hey, guys, this, you know, I know that you guys avoid politics like the plague, no pun intended, and I think you're wise to do so. I mean, that's not what sports talk is supposed to be about. But this is one of those examples where it's unavoidable because politicians are making decisions about sports, whether it can be played safely, and whether spectators can enjoy it. And I feel like Texas is a case where they are valuing, you know, the economy and just their culture of, you know, which is, you know, I think it goes like God, football, get family in Texas, right, over the safety of their public. And all these states that are in the middle of the country that are thinking, oh, it's not so bad here, we should be able to do what we want. No, what they should be thinking is, thank God we don't have dense populations where this virus is spreading out of control and the hospitals are flooded with patients. We're going to take every precaution so that, you know, Texas doesn't become Brooklyn, right? But instead, they're thinking about it as, you know, selfishly, and I really feel like they're putting people in jeopardy, not to mention the athletes, the young athletes. I mean, is it really fair to put young football players at risk so that their parents can live vicariously through them? I don't think so.
Well, but I'm not sure, and I appreciate the call. I don't know that they're doing that so that their parents can live vicariously through them. You're talking about athletes who are adults, first of all, that are old enough to sign up to go fight in a war, or to, you know, go buy a backpack of cigarettes or do whatever it else is that they would like to do. They're making the choice, presumably, to play. And I don't know that they're doing it so that their parents can live vicariously through them. They're probably
doing
it.
Well, at the amateur levels, maybe, but this is pro sporting events at this point. So, no, we're not talking about Texas Tech versus University of Houston, necessarily.
Right. I'd even extrapolate my point to college kids. I think most of them are not playing so that their parents can live through them. I think they're playing because they want to play football. But, yes, what he's doing, or the governor, I should say, is they're opening up for 25% capacity for professional sports starting on Monday, which is obviously, you know, not the kids that we're talking about. Now, adding to that, Chris, I understand his point. It is impossible to go 100%. You know, zero wading into political waters because sports and politics just intertwine occasionally, and this has now become one of those areas. But there is a very real debate to be had. Like, you can be on whatever side of this you want to be, okay? The idea that there's not a conversation to be had here on the juice being worth the squeeze economically is not correct. So I'm not advocating for either side. I guess what I'm saying is when you say, well, I think they're thinking about the economy and their culture. Yeah, I agree with you. And I don't know that that's necessarily wrong. You can agree or disagree with that. But that's a big part of this, is that these states have to think about their economies. Dating back to the beginning of this, Danny, when Larry Hogan came on with the Junkies, he said this perfectly. And I just don't know how many people listen to this part. But he said there are two fights that we're fighting here. We're fighting the fight of trying to keep as many people healthy and safe as possible, and the fight of also making sure that our economy doesn't crumble in a way that is irreparable. Both of those things matter. Now, obviously that there is a threshold for keeping people safe and healthy that you have to reach, until the other one starts to become relevant. But when you get to that threshold, now they're both very, very relevant and have to be considered by these governors. So that is a big part of this. So, yeah, Chris, you're right when you say they're considering their culture and their economy. Yeah, and they should not. Now, whether or not they should consider it the most, I can't answer that. I'd like to think that the governors of these specific states, with the information they have, know a little bit more about the peril they'd be putting people in than I do sitting on a recliner in Virginia, though.
I'm also specifically and especially not a scientist. I'm not specifically and especially not an economist. I don't know. I read the same things everybody else does. And I could find, yesterday I found some data points that were really encouraging towards the reopening of the things. Then I got sent an article this morning about this strange twist is linked to coronavirus in kids, and it's terrifying again. My point is you can find whatever you want to find. ABC News yesterday released some data points that the 21 states that opened on May 4th have experienced no giant spike in cases that everybody thought they would. That hasn't happened. So is that good? Then you have the number of cases that have gone a different way in a different part of the country. My point is there's no hard and fast rule, and everybody wants there to be one so badly. So anybody that's acting in a way that they disagree with is selfish or evil or bad or trading money for lives,
right,
or the opposite.
And they've got
restricting
the answers.
Freedoms,
I mean,
or whatever.
You've got people screaming, they're lying. They're lying about their cases. Like, so there's so much of that, that there is no like hard and fast truth anymore because everyone's got their own story that they stick to. And that's where the politics of this thing gets so messy. Hey, real quick, just getting back to the Cowboys and the fact that they'd be one of the teams affected. Vegas asked this. It's a great question. Since Jerry's World is mostly indoors, say the Cowboys are playing next Sunday, do they play at the Cotton Bowl? I mean, I guess theoretically they could make the move. It's an interesting question. Is it worth the money to move over and have an outdoor stadium? But it brings up this thought from me. For these stadiums that are partially outdoor, like that are kind of have the overhangs, but there's a little bit of an opening at the top, like the Cowboys Stadium, can that be considered indoor or outdoor? What's the definition of that?
Great question by you. If there are openings, but that you get some ventilation, but that's not an outdoor stadium.
But
I don't know what the criteria is.
Yeah, ventilation, I think, is the word I'm looking for. For the purposes of, are you indoor or outdoor? If we're saying that one matters more than the other, like how are they going to determine that? If you're Marlins Park or Milwaukee, where you can open the roof completely, obviously you're now outdoor. But there are a lot of stadiums that are partially outdoor and parts of it are covered. I wonder what the ruling would be on that. Just something. Hadn't considered until he brought that up. That's a really good tweet. At Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny, if you've got any thoughts. You can also call us at 800-636-1067. Bradley Beal has commented on a bunch of trade rumors that he's involved in. We'll get into that next. And at the top of the hour at 11 o'clock, we'll swing things over to Steve Phillips, the former Major League Baseball general manager, talking about the players versus the owners. Still to come, you'll hear the Del Rio comments from yesterday as well. This is The Fan. In a couple of minutes, you'll hear what Jack Del Rio said about Chase Young right here on Grant and Danny. But speaking of what people are saying, Bradley Beal was talking with ESPN because he's been linked in a bunch of trade rumors over the last couple of weeks. The New York Daily News last week reported that the Brooklyn Nets have had internal discussions about pursuing Beal, who's 26 years old and a star now as Wizards guard. He's taken over the locker room with John Wall injured. Remember, he signed the two-year, $72 million extension this fall at the start of the season in October. Beal's comments, quote, "It's not the first time I've heard this kind of talk. It's interesting. To me, I look at it as a sign of respect that I've been doing good things and guys want to play with me." He also said, quote, "That's an unbelievable feeling when you hear that Kyrie and KD want you." He said, "That's amazing. At the same time, you don't know how much there is to it or how easy it would be to do. And I've put down roots in D.C. I've dedicated myself to this town, this community. I love it here. And it would feel great to know I could grind out winning here instead of jumping to another team. But I'd be naive to say that I don't think about it when these stories come up," end quote. Bradley Beal does not sound like a guy that is adamantly opposed to being traded, does he?
No, it's funny. It's slightly different than his answer from a couple years ago. I forget the exact quote. I was trying to look it up during the break. But it was basically, I want to be here. I want to do it here. I want to make sure it all happens here. And now it's the... It's flattering. It's really nice to be wanted, you know, after signing that couple year extension. But I think he's correct, by the way. It's the right way to approach it. Nobody's begging and hoping for, oh, I hope Thomas Bryant's available. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where, you know, you're talking about Kevin Durant coming back, Kyrie Irving, who's, you know, a 27-point-per-game star at this point in his career. Yeah, you want to see if you can go win a title. And you being sort of the third piece to that group to form your own big three in Brooklyn, he should be flattered. He should consider it an accomplishment to have gotten this far. He's got the respect of his peers, and rightfully so.
Yeah, I read those quotes, and I get the sense he's kind of touching the home base as best he can. And I think he answered it beautifully because he respected D.C. and he gave love to the city. But he made it pretty well known, too. Yeah, it'd be something I'd consider is kind of what I took out of that. But he is wanted, and it's something the Wizards should consider because particularly now that Wall is coming back from injury, I mean, unless he can return to his pre-Achilles form, and that's going to be hard to do, it's just really difficult to see this iteration climbing to the top of the mountain. And if you don't feel like you can do it with this group, with these guys, not that they're old, but certainly aging, is Wall 30 yet? I feel like he's close. He's got to be close. Is he not 30?
Creeping up there. I don't have his.
Let me pull it up. I'll bet you he's 30 on the dot.
I think
but if
he's
not,
like 29,
maybe he's 29.
I want to say. Yeah, he's close to it.
He's 27. So John Wall is 29 in 262 days.
Yeah, there you go.
So he'll be 30 soon. I mean, you at least have to consider rebooting the whole thing because you could get a franchise-altering package back for Bradley Beal.
Well, you know how I felt about this, and this isn't disrespectful to John Wall. He's working very hard. He's trying to come back. But the history of this injury is not good. It just isn't. It cost a lot of guys their career. The only guy that came back and was close to what he was before was Dominique Wilkins, and he was a completely different player when he came back. He was no longer touching the top of the backboard human highlight reel. He, you know, altered his game a little bit. And a guy whose game is built on speed, explosion, speed in the open court, I don't know that he's ever going to be the same. And maybe by taking longer, maybe this a blessing in disguise this pandemic is for somebody like him who, you know, is given that much extra time to rehabilitate and try to come back as strong as humanly possible. I love John Wall, but I don't know. So for me, I looked at this, and I don't blame Tommy Shepherd and company for thinking of it differently because you're kind of stuck, right, with these two mega contracts that you're under. I basically said there's no way as you're paying John Wall to be a franchise-carrying superstar that he probably can't be because of the injury, there's no way you're going to win during these next few seasons. I mean, I'm talking about really win. So everything for my building would be towards the end of that deal, which would include trading a star like Bradley Beal and getting a bunch of young pieces back. And, you know, I would sort of build that way. They're not. They're basically going, well, Wall's here. Let's try to see how good we can be if and when he comes back. It's a reasonable approach. It's just not the one that I would have taken. It's a tougher sell, though, to do mine because you're basically saying, hi, everybody. We're not going to be good for a few years. attention. We don't plan on being any good. So come buy tickets. I get it.
Yeah, my big problem with, you know, a trade of Beal around draft picks, which is what a lot of people advocate, is if you move him, let's say, to Brooklyn with Durant and Kyrie, a lot of times when you trade these superstars in the NBA, it's to teams that are already good to kind of put them over the top, and then you get multiple first-round picks back. Those first-round picks don't have the same weight. No. Like a lot of NBA drafts, you got to be in the top three or four, or it doesn't matter. Not that you can't get really good players all over the board. Of course you can.
Because it happens,
but
right.
You want the high draft picks in the top five. You could say that about a lot of sports, but compared to football or baseball or anything else, I mean, you really need to be at the top of the board to get your Zions and your Ja Morants. And if you're not, then the draft picks just don't matter as much. So now I need assets back who can turn into something really special. And I don't know if you can find the right dance partner, but it's at least worth investigating if you're the Wizards. Let's talk to Jack Del Rio for a second. I mentioned that he met with reporters yesterday on Zoom. They asked him about Chase Young. As you'd imagine, he has been raving about Young to anybody who he talks to since the Redskins made the pick. Here's what he had to say yesterday.
For me, I just can't wait to get going with him. But he's doing all that he can right now as a member of our defensive line, a member of our Washington Redskins team. And you know, I think the sky's the limit for him in terms of what he'll be able to bring to us. You know, we obviously have big designs. We think he's a really good player, and we're looking forward to getting him involved.
Danny, a lot of people kind of expecting the world from him in year one, and I don't know if you were joking or not, but you kind of went on a limb and said, hey, if he's not having 11, 12 sacks in his first year, it's a disappointment. we're making excuses for, and I think correctly, it's an explanation, Dwayne Haskins, right? We're saying he doesn't have the offseason he needs. I mean, Chase Young's not able to have rookie camp. He's not able to get on the grass with his coaches. He's not able to be in the meeting rooms at Redskins Park. A lot of the things he'd normally be getting as possible just improvement milestones aren't being given to him. Shouldn't we view him the same way? I mean, do we have to recalibrate and lower our expectations a little bit because he, too, is being affected by this? Or because of the position he plays, does it not matter?
I think it does matter. It should be a factor. It should be a consideration. I think you're right. It is an astute point. I guess I would say it's not the same when you talk about schemes and, you know, offenses and the complexity of the quarterback position. That's different than a defensive end, I would say, but doesn't mean it's, you know, there's no nuance to the position. Certainly guys have to learn and guys have to adjust and get all the terminology and understand responsibilities and assignments and learn things. So you're right. It is something that we should consider. And this is what I've said all along, by the way. I think Chase Young's really good. I think the expectations that people have for him are ridiculous. I think they're way too high. I just think he was the best defensive player in the draft, but everybody wants to say, no, generational. He's the best defensive player in several drafts, 10 drafts, 50 drafts, 20 drafts, 30 drafts, for years and years and years. A generation lasts 30 years. Maybe the NFL version of that is 10 to 15. People want to put him in this stratosphere before he's done anything. I think he's just a regular great player, regular really good high draft pick. But the expectations, I think, are unrealistic. So I'm with you. We should be watering down our expectations for him and this defense.
Yeah, if I didn't get to have an offseason, I'd certainly rather be a pass rusher than a quarterback.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want to be a rookie this year if I could choose my year. I would have picked last year of the year that follows this one because
very reasonable.
It's just not going to be as easy to hit the ground sprinting like you'd like. But, I mean, he'll have a chance, obviously, by year's end to end up wreaking havoc, and you hope. By the end of this season, he shows the ability to flash like he's an all-pro to come in the future for the Redskins. Steve Phillips was a general manager in the big leagues for the Mets. Talks about baseball nationally on network radio. Does he think we'll have a season? And what's going on between the owners and the players today? He's got the latest on Grant and Danny in a moment.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.